Hi, everybody. I'm Bill Whittle, and I'm here with my friend and associate Alfonso Rachel. And this is the Virtue Signal, where we talk about sort of the morality and the philosophy beneath and behind, below the politics. As though we've spent a couple months doing this now, basically looking out the window at the, you know, the rivers of blood and the frogs raining from the sky, you know, and dogs and cats lying down together. I thought maybe we'd do something a little bit lighter on this episode for a change, and I thought maybe we'd talk about this. One thing I've noticed about leftists in general, but about this cancel culture woke mob in particular, is that nobody seems to be having any fun, and none of them seem to have even a particle of a sense of humor. Have you gotten that sense from them?
Yeah, just a little bit, man. And when you said that we were going to like do something light, man, I thought you were going to talk about, the Chauvin trial. Yeah.
But I guess, what do you say about that we haven't said, you know, it's like, okay.
Not that, yeah. I'm trying to steer it in that direction. I'm just saying, hey, I thought you were going to keep it light, you know? But, okay, so now when we talk about this this woke culture, man, and these are supposed to be the utopian everybody get along and everything is going to be you know, butterscotch clouds and rainbows and stuff like that, man. And you know, but I think it's really funny because, you know, in this woke culture, where everything is supposed to be that, and ironically everybody is so miserable, and Bill, the lesson that I see in that is reflected in Cain and Abel even, because you got Cain, who's basically, man, I'm gonna do this my way, right? I don't recognize God as being sufficient, and God will just be satisfied with whatever it is, how I'm gonna live and whatever I'm gonna, if I gotta present something to God, I'll present it to him my own way, and I really don't feel like I have to do things his way anyway. But despite this feeling of him pursuing his own truth and all that sort of stuff, God prophesied through Abel and asked this question. Hey man, why are you so downcast, man? Why are you so miserable? Right? I think that's very interesting, because when we think that we can do things our own way and stuff like that and pursue our own truth and these things that we think are going to make us so happy, these people are flipping miserable.
And miserable.
They're miserable. And Abel asked, why are you so miserable, man? And Cain killed him for that. And these people are developing, well, we're circling back to him, because this isn't anything new, but we're circling back to where these people have murderous hatred against us, and it's boiling. And so they're about ready to go upside our head with a rock. Yep. You know, so I just think it's, you know, the lesson is already taught there, that these people are highly allergic to truth. Abel spoke this truth to Cain, and it got on Cain's nerves, and he killed him.
Yeah, thank God. Thank God that they're terrified of Pop-Tarts that are chewed in the general shape of a pistol, because if they were serious people, then we'd be in a lot more trouble. Mm. You know, it's an interesting example, as always, with the Cain and Abel thing. And if I remember my Bible stories correctly, the thing that drove Cain into such fury, and the reason he was never a happy guy, was because of envy, right? Mm. Because his brother's sacrifice was better, and he was just filled with this envy of something that somebody else had and that he wanted. Sure. And you cannot be, you just can't function like that and be a happy person. One of the things they say in 12-step programs is, you know, you can't be grateful and unhappy at the same time. Mm-hmm. And that lack of gratitude for the things that they've been given, well, there is none. I mean, if you look at like woke SJWs on college campuses, there's nothing that they're happy about, nothing.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And their entire reason for existence is to protest things and to weed out ever smaller injustices and get louder and louder and louder about tinier and tinier little things. But the one thing that's really struck me about this is what an astonishingly humorless and pessimistic movement this is. Used to be that the left-wingers could, as you said, they could preach this kind of utopian vision, but it was at least a utopian vision. These people have got nothing to offer but just increasing tension, increasing hatred. I've never seen a social justice warrior smiling.
No, man, it's, well, they don't have real joy, Bill. And when the things that they... imagine will fulfill them, of course it's a false fulfillment. They're shackled to a fantasy. There's no freedom in that. There's no freedom in it. You know, and like we said with Cain, it's envy, sure. And we see that there's a lot of envy, these envious people, these covetous people who feel like they're entitled to what other people have and stuff like that. And once again, that's also a fantasy. It's like, you're entitled to the fruits of my labor. No, that's a fantasy. All right. So you can see where they're just caught up in a fantasy and you can't be fulfilled by that. I mean, it's one thing to make your dreams come true, but you gotta make sure you have the discernment of the practicality of your dreams, you know, the things that you're going for.
That's right.
You know, you don't be dreaming about other people's stuff. That's covetousness. And as it says in our founding documents, you have the right to pursue happiness, your happiness, right? Not somebody else's.
Yeah, so, and you have the right to pursue happiness. There's no right to have happiness.
Right.
That is an entirely different issue.
Yes, yes. You know, and so envy is a part of it, but Cain was also miserable because he figured that he could pursue his own truth. What he was doing was sufficient. Like, no, man, this isn't going to work. And there's deep spiritual implications about why this. I mean, dig this, Bill. I mean, even in this woke era, people are thinking that, like, eating all, you see all this fad of plant-based, right? Eating plant-based food to make it taste like meat. You're going to eat this plant and you're going to imagine that it's meat. It's like, why? Why? Here, if you guys are all about being natural and all that sort of stuff, instead of eating this overly processed vegetable protein, why don't you do it the natural way and let a cow eat it and process it the right way so you can have a proper hamburger, okay?
Yeah, I noticed nobody's out there taking, prime rib and cutting it up into little pieces and treating it so that it tastes like broccoli.
Right, yeah.
That's not a trend that I have that I've noticed.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's all about appearances and there's no joy there.
Mm-mm.
I think every time I get myself thinking, my God, these millennials, I realize they didn't raise themselves. They didn't ask for any of this.
Yeah.
And I think that in a society that socialized them to believe that there is no individual achievement, we're not going to have a first place winner because that is bad for the self-esteem of the second place and the last place person, and we're not going to keep scoring baseball and all of it. They've never had any outlets to compete except for protesting. That's the only thing that they've been encouraged to do is to protest. They've been told that if you go out and start a business, then you're just a rapacious monster who's stealing bread from the mouths of poor people. And they've been told that any individual achievement is just, you know, is just this kind of sick individualism that this entire capitalist nightmare is based on, and on and on and on and on we go. But ultimately, looking at how they were raised, they didn't ask for this. They were put into kind of a channel that didn't allow them to do anything other than, on the part of their teachers, wouldn't allow them to do anything other than be angry about the things that the teachers were angry about.
Yeah, and that's where we send that's where we send our our kids, you know, for, you know, 8 hours a day to be influenced by these people. And as I've said before, you know, Paul questions this, is like, why are you sending people to the godless to be arbiters over your affairs, whether it's judgment about your education, judgments about, the policies that you have. It's like, why are you doing that? And, you know, we're going to be dealing with, you know, miserable people as long as people are made to believe that, you know, these consequences are stories, then nobody is going to believe that the consequences are real. And more we're getting away from that. And there are eternal consequences to these things. And there will be an eternal judgment and an eternal reckoning that will be eternally satisfied when this is done. These people, it's ironic that, you know, these people have made an enterprise of their grievances, right?
I did a show about that this morning called Woke Light.
Okay.
And it's like, oh, I've started this whole thing about racial injustice, and now I've bought $1.5 million house, and I'm living as far away from black people as I possibly get, and
yes,
I'm the founder of Black Lives Matter.
Right, right. And we know that Booker T. Washington talked about this, people who will mm-hmm. make an enterprise of doing these things.
Right.
So in that, I mean, yeah, the irony of them making just a fortune off of you know, scrutinizing and stigmatizing people who have made an honest living. The competition of love wins. Well, love according to what? I mean, because this love that you guys are talking about, I don't see no love in it. But they've made a competition out of these things, and they're beset on winning. And who know? And what is the satisfaction of the prize? To what end are you guys trying to drive this narrative? You know, what is actually victory for you? So, you know, these things are things that we're dealing with, and their idea of love itself, Bill, is a fantasy. And the word of God says, no greater love is the one who will lay down his life for a friend. And thank God, you know, the Lord is seeking friends. Like, look, man, I want to be your friend. I'm going to die for my enemies, too. But like I said, this goes back to even the Cain and Abel story, because here's the spiritual implication in this, is that the culture keeps trying to get away from in this artificiality of things and trying to pursue their own pseudo truth. When you have Cain is going to feel like, hey, man, I can go ahead and make this offering, and I can make an offering any way that I want to. And Abel's like, no, man, there has to be a sacrifice. You have to understand, don't get away from the implication is that something has to die in order for you to eternally live. In the pro tem right now, there's going to have to be something that's going to die for your temporary sustenance. But a sacrifice is going to have to be made for you to eternally live in peace and joy, not just eternally live in agonizing frustration, right? Because that can come too. So we keep trying to get away from that, and we're revisiting the days where it is the fashion. It really is the fashion for people to try to make everything about animal protein. You don't, an animal doesn't have to die. Well, the Lamb of God, the conquering Lion of Judah, who came to us as a lamb to be bold enough as a lion to die for all of us, did that. And this is what we keep trying to get away from. And the more we do it, Bill, the more miserable we get. It doesn't work. If we look at the observation of it and we try to see this scientifically, it's like, dude, time after time, we keep trying to do this and it doesn't work. I think Einstein called that insanity. We're not supposed to do that. At some point, we have to realize, look, man, there isn't your truth and your truth and my truth. That's not possible. Truth can only be truth, and it can't be relative in truth according to somebody else. It's either one truth or it's not.
Yep. Well, I also think that a big part of this must be that they understand that the things that they're advocating are not only not much fun, they're actually kind of, they're not inhuman, they're unhuman. You know, they all get down and worship the little golden statue of Bernie Sanders, and they do this because Bernie talks about socialism and how wonderful socialism is. But when Bernie Sanders has three houses, and when he's confronted about this, he says, well, I wrote a book that was bought by millions of people. I can't help it if I'm rich. You could have donated the money. And this is where I think I'm really getting at it. They don't. Their philosophy is impossible to enjoy, and we see it everywhere. We talked about the Black Lives Matter thing, the Bernie Sanders thing. If Bernie Sanders really believed what Bernie Sanders says he believed, he would have his other two houses open for people to live in free.
Yeah.
If all of these social justice warriors believed in all of the distribution of wealth and stuff, they'd take their Xboxes and their iPhones, they'd sell them and give them to people who are in greater need. Mm-hmm. It's almost like they're cheerleaders for a team that cannot win. and if they do win, then everybody's going to be unhappy, including themselves.
Oh, definitely, man. And it's now, just like you said, you know, and we see that here in California and all these other places where people try to make us feel guilty about what happened to the, you know, the Native Americans and stuff like that. It's like, man, I don't see you giving up your keys to your car to give to them.
I don't either. It's like, and the people calling for open borders, I notice, have their own private security systems. And you step one foot on their yard and there's going to be somebody there in 30 seconds.
Yes, yes. And now, the self-righteous exercise, man, of accusing others of evil, and that somehow makes you virtuous by default. Man, that's old school, man. That's not a new thing. And in the Bible has already outlined the psychology as far as that goes, our human inclinations to do that. And for some reason, and people are looking for validation. People are looking for something to make them seem as a righteous or good person, you know, these sanctimonious exercises that people do. And unfortunately, a lot of it is just simply caught up in accusing somebody else of evil, you know, this Pharisaic approach mm-hmm. that people have. You know, it's, you know, they want to go to these schools and they listen to these professors mind molest them and tell them how, you know, the rich, it's like, wait a minute, these rich people that are out there that are making these livings and stuff like that, professor, didn't you teach them? Aren't you the one who gave them the degree to go off and make this 6- and 7-figure income that they're making right now? And you're teaching us to hate them. So when we get our degrees and we go make this illustrious living that I guess we're hoping that we're going to make, even though we're going to be in debt till I don't know how long, aren't you going to be teaching the next generation of people that you're going to hate us and be coming after what's ours? So it's unfortunate that people don't catch on to this. But hey, what matters, Bill, is that they feel good about themselves for seeing other people as evil.
Well, it seems to me that they're only happy when they're at their most outraged and miserable, and that is going to take some years off of your life. You really shouldn't live that way. So I would just advise all you SJWs who are watching the show, you know, problems are problems, and it's important to work on solving problems, but life has never been this good for this many people of any color anywhere in the world, in the history of the world. You might want to kick back and open a well, not a beer, obviously, a can of sustainable algae squeezings or whatever you get. And just to close, you know, when I started doing the public speaking and stuff, I was thinking, you know, given the older kind of utopianism that the left has always sold, I don't know if I came up with this myself, but it really was like the liberals are giving away free candy and the conservatives are selling vegetables mm-hmm. because they're good for you.
Yes.
And that's a much harder deal. But it seems to me, actually, in reflection now for the last 4 or 5 years or so, it's like we're the ones with the candy and they're the ones trying to sell the vegetables. They're the ones that are saying, don't do this, don't do that, can't have this, can't have this. All these things that people want and that people get regardless of what they claim to say, Bernie and the rest of them. But everything that they are selling is miserable, and everything that we're selling is awesome, and we should be much more on the positive side of this, and basically just saying, you know, see, look at all this, see, this is fun, watch us have fun, and notice that nobody's getting hurt, and notice that we have better personal relationships with people, notice that there's no racial tension here with people who are treating other people as individuals because we treat them as individuals. It's probably a forlorn hope, but you never know who you're going to catch if you throw a wide enough net. That'll do it for this edition of The Virtue Signal, made possible by the members at BillWhittle.com. On behalf of my friend Alfonso Rachel, we'll see you next time right here on The Virtue Signal at BillWhittle.com.